The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
No one's believed these days. Robert Allenby can't be believed with his story, the seagull story. You're questioning that as well. Moon landing, did that happen?
You know what? That really annoys me when people start going on about how that was fake. There is just so... don't get me started.
Let's go to Mark Latham now, who joins us every week at this time, and I'm sure he doesn't think the moon landing was fake. Mr. Latham, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. It's clear what's going on here. Gary's been hanging around with too many politicians, and he thinks the seagulls have got a small army of spin doctors and PR consultants there planning out their clever media strategy for the day.
It wouldn't surprise me, Mark.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't put it past them either.
Well, maybe the seagulls would do a better job than the politicians. That'd be the ultimate statement of cynicism.
Well, they will.
Do you reckon they do a better job than Chris Bowen?
Well, Chris Bowen, is he to be believed? I don't worry about the moon landing. Chris Bowen's saying that Labor's going to be looking at tax increases and spending cuts, severe spending cuts, to do something about the budget deficit. Well, the first question, and I suppose the most obvious question to ask, was where were they for 6 years? You know, where were they for 6 years when they're racking up enormous deficits? Bowen was in the cabinet and then he was the treasurer. No sign of severe spending cuts. Look, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you can believe Chris Bowen on this. I think Labor's locked in to a small target protest strategy to try and exploit the many failings of the Abbott government. I don't think they're going to have some big, exciting, brave policy alternative come the next election.
But we're probably, what, a year and a half away from that election, and it's looking increasingly likely that whereas 12 months ago we wouldn't have even given them a chance, a snowflake's chance in hell, now they're back on the table and Labor could be a big show.
Absolutely. You know, people say a one-term government in Australia is always re-elected. The one-term administration hasn't been defeated since the time of the Great Depression. But, you know, political rules are there to be broken. They're made to be broken, and it may well be that Bill Shorten, as we've just seen in Victoria, will topple a first-term government. And when you look at it, the Rudd-Gillard government in its first term almost lost. They went into a hung parliament. You go back to the Whitlam government, that lasted 3 years. There was an election in the middle of it, but just 3 years, a conventional one-term administration. So I don't think because of some long-standing historical precedent that you can rule out the possibility of Labor winning. The Abbott government is going so bad that people might just decide, you know, with all the cynicism that is out there in the electorate, that we'll give the other mob a go. They've cleaned out Rudd and Gillard, Shorten's fresh face. Let's give him a go. He can't be any worse than Abbott.
What's the problem here? Have you ever seen anything like it? You've got a backflip now on the cuts to university funding. We've had any number of Medicare-related backflips by this government, and it seems as though every time they have an idea or they want to float something, it's just sort of out there. There just doesn't seem to be any unity within Cabinet. It's quite extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think it goes back to what I mentioned earlier on, the strategy of small-target protest type opposition. That was Tony Abbott for 4 years running into the last election. He didn't do a lot of detailed policy work. He didn't put out a big, clear alternative on budget policy. He just had some slogans. And slogans, while good for winning elections, are not sufficient for running a proper, detailed government. And Abbott's all over the shop, basically, because he didn't do the work in opposition. This is part of the debilitating cycle in modern politics, that oppositions think, I'll be a small target, put the pressure on the government, feed off their mistakes, that's how you win.
Right, Joe Hockey's been also criticised intensely for his performance. He's back into the fray. He talked about children turning 150 and trying to deal with the health cost blowout.
Well, you know, Hockey is sort of becoming known for the outlandish statement, although in this case you'd have to say there's an element of truth to it, that people are living longer, and the whole point of the health budget is to plan for increased costs because of longevity. There probably will be a person who lives to 150 sometime in the future. It mightn't be in this century, but or the next century, but, you know, people are living longer. Health costs are blowing out because of the ageing society. But the basic problem with Joe Hockey is that all this flip-flopping around about the GP co-payment and charging people to go see the doctor, none of it is being used to reduce the deficit. Hmm. It's being used to fund a medical research fund that nobody had heard about until the May budget. And, you know, it's just another form of health expenditure into the future. So Hockey is just hopeless, not only as a salesperson, but in developing policy. If you're going to charge people to go see the doctor to try and limit the cost of Medicare, then at least put the money into deficit reduction.
Just get off national politics just for a moment. It's quite remarkable to think it's been 29 years since Anita Cobby, the beauty pageant winner, was murdered so senselessly. And we've got news this week that the police who are involved in the investigation into her murder are now going to stage a public memorial. Will you be going?
Well, if I can fit it into my schedule, I would, because quite frankly, it was one of the most horrifically significant things that we ever saw in Western Sydney. I remember in 1986, I would have been 25, younger sisters about the same age as Anita Cobby were all very much affected by this. And, you know, I think it's very good the police are putting on the memorial and a part of the staging of it. Anita Cobby's parents have passed away. So it's important, I think, for the general community to remember her and remember the significance, the horrific significance of what happened. But the other thing, Gary, is that it shouldn't become a political statement. Mm. I've read some of the material on Fairfax websites from people like Clementine Ford. She's putting out the nonsense that the cause of that terrible murder was gender inequality. Now, you know, I think it's disrespectful to the memory of Anita Cobby not to give the full facts of what happened. John Travers, Murdoch, the Murphy brothers, they just weren't women haters. They hated men, they hated animals, they hated everything.
Yep.
And it wasn't a product of gender inequality. It was a product of feral, underclass lifestyle, no regard for decent standards and responsibility in society. And I just think it's appalling that feminists would be trying to grab hold of this event 29 years later to turn it into a political statement on false pretenses.
Yeah, look, I agree with you on that. Now, at 18 past 8, we did promise we'd do this week, so here it is.
At the Movies with Mark Latham.
Yes, the Mark Latham movie review. There it is. You wanted it. There it is.
Well, The Water Diviner. This is the movie that every Australian should see. A magnificent movie, one of the best I've seen in a long while. I'm giving this 5 stars. On the basis that, of course, we all know about Gallipoli through Australian eyes. This is a movie that actually, for the first time, gives a portrayal through Turkish eyes. It starts with the scene as the Turks discovered the empty trenches after the Anzacs had evacuated from the Gallipoli Peninsula at the end of 1915. There's a chessboard there the Aussie diggers had left behind and had a sign on it, "Your move, Abdul." And, you know, there's some good humour in the movie, but also the terrible story of young men going to the other side of the world. You know, the poor buggers, they thought it was a great adventure. They'd be back by Christmas time, having cleaned out the Turks and the Germans, and so many of them lost their life without any genuine purpose. So, you know, it's a tremendous movie, not just about the Australian angle with Gallipoli, but young people in particular, teenagers should have a look at it to see it through Turkish eyes as well. And I think Russell Crowe, I'm not a big rap on Russell and his role in rugby league, but he's done a tremendous role here, not only acting, but involved in directing the movie. And it's one of the best you can see.
It was a clue, wasn't it? Because we spoke with him and it was they released it simultaneously here and in Turkey. And that said a bit about the flavour of the movie. And look, I agree with you. I think everyone should go and see it.
Yeah, Russell Crowe, to his credit, took a real international focus with the movie involving the Turks, and it's beautifully shot, beautifully acted. Towards the end, gets a little bit,
far-fetched?
Well, he's sort of like Batman and Superman saving things in Turkey. That's a little bit far-fetched. You can forgive that, because I think the substance, the guts of the story is so good that you just need to see it.
Mark, did you get a lump in your throat, though? Because I did when I watched that movie.
Yeah, I saw it with my sons, and a big part of the movie was Russell Crowe saying he taught his sons God, country, flag, honour, and had encouraged them to go fight. And he realised in the end that, he hadn't protected his sons the right way, hadn't taught them the right thing. But, you just go back in time and you think, this is a family supposedly in Western Victoria. What would they have known about the world?
Yep.
These young country boys rode off thinking it was the adventure of a lifetime. So, the lump in my throat was sort of a feeling of protect your children, always give them well-rounded advice, both sides of the story.